Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Studio. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We have a full hour of Penn State football talk for you. I'm Andy Shea. Joining me for quarter number one in the studio, Bob Flounders. He is Penn State football beat writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News. Ross Tucker, third member of our on-air team, will join us shortly. Jim's running the controls. We're good to go. Bob, how you doing?
I'm good. It's a nice fall afternoon as we late morning as we tape this, and a very interesting game for Penn State coming up.
It is.
I know I say that a lot, but I just feel like this is a game that, I don't know, I don't have a strong feeling one way or the other about this game in terms of who's going to win.
Yeah, I was looking over, you know, picks and predictions and what everyone was saying about the game, and I was kind of surprised that everybody, you know, that you guys use for your picks, there was like three or four Wisconsin writers. They're all picking Penn State, so yeah. And they're seeing Wisconsin on a weekly basis. We'll get to our picks and predictions
for
the Wisconsin game. Noon kickoff, Beaver Stadium in quarter number four. Quarter number one, it's Bob Sixpack for Saturday. Tucker's Tape brought to you by GoPSURV.com. I'm sure our friend Ross will have a lot to say about the Michigan game. That'll be quarter number two. They are your questions, his answers. Ask Ross, brought to you by our good friends at 409tailgateclub.com. They power quarter number three. So, real quick, before we get to some of your six-pack stuff, quarterback, your expectations of who plays, who starts, what's going on, or do you not have any, not know? I mean, Trace was clearly injured last week.
If I had to put a guess based on what I saw, I would say that he was probably 70%. The brace was very big. I mean, there are different kinds of braces. That was a big one. I'm quite sure Ross is going to get into, well, James is pulling and putting back in and pulling and putting. I mean, it's fair game. This feels like an injury that's probably going to be with Trace, whatever it is, for the remainder of the regular season. I don't think there's going to be a few days that's going to help him.
Right.
My hope is that whatever James decides to do, he's got a pretty good plan in place. It felt like he did not have a plan in place against Michigan, and he was simply reacting and then overreacting, and then it was not a good look. Tommy Stevens has to be on the field more. He just does.
I agree. You're right.
He's a very good runner. He's obviously still working out some of the kinks throwing the football. But I mean,
do you think that ball slipped out of his hand?
No. I talked to him afterwards. He said it was totally on him. It was a mistake he should never make, trying to run from right to left without planting your feet
and throw the ball.
He was trying to throw the ball to Brandon Polk, and it was horribly underthrown.
Yeah.
And he just said it was his fault. He's going to learn from it. So he took ownership of it. He didn't try and play it off. But Tommy is a guy that needs to be on the field. He needs to be on the field a little bit more. And this has nothing to do with Trace. I don't think it does. I think there's a world where they can both be in the game. If they're not going to do it, they were almost stubborn about it, I thought, last year, and I never really quite understood that. But this offense is lacking quite a bit.
Yeah.
And this is a guy that I think that can help him. I do think, I mean, my expectation is Trace will play, but he's probably on a little bit of a shorter leash.
Okay. I just thought that's – before we get to the other six-pack stuff for Saturday, let's talk about the quarterback position. So Penn State's defense, which has been on the field a lot, we've talked about it for weeks now. Mm-hmm. There's nothing different really about Wisconsin's offense and their offensive line and what they want to do, despite the 6-3 record from week one to now. It's the same bludgeoning thing, and Penn State's defensive front's going to be up against it.
Well, all you need to know about the Wisconsin offense is, it doesn't, like, Alex Hornibrook is their starter, and he's questionable. He's in the concussion protocol.
Correct.
And I don't know that it matters if he plays, just because that's not really what Wisconsin does. I mean, I think Wisconsin is a team that matches up well with Penn State just because of their identity. They know who they are. Penn State knows exactly what's coming. and
Michael Dieter's seen it all.
They have a couple guys that are going to play for a long time in the NFL. He is playing at left guard, which is bad news for the Penn State defensive tackles. That's definitely a weak spot, I think, on the Penn State defensive line. And we talked about it last week. We've talked about it in recent weeks that the bill was always going to come due for playing all these snaps. And I don't think there's any question that this is a tired defense. They are leaning on their starters way too long because I don't think they've ever really developed enough depth. So that's one I said at the start is that's why I'm not really sure about this game. I mean,
right.
The home field advantage should matter for Penn State, but this is a game where if they're not very careful, Wisconsin's going to keep the ball for 38 minutes, and before you know it, it could be all over with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
When I watched the first half of the Michigan game live, and then I watched the one-hour version of it, and when you watch a one-hour version, it's just play after play after play, which I like.
Yes.
The one thing, and I kind of felt that as I was texting with Jimmy during the game, was, you know what? Penn State's defense had they were putting their best foot forward.
They gave up some
plays, but for two and a half, absolutely, three quarters, I'm like, they're right there. Not that Michigan's offense was going to test them and push them or anything, but they were acquitting themselves extraordinarily well in a tight football game.
0 points at halftime, and that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. They had to find a way to make Michigan play from behind. They had to find a way to generate some offense early. They had about two or three chances in the first half to get points, including one on special teams. They didn't do it. They didn't execute. They didn't finish. Trace missed an open receiver. The margin was very narrow for Penn State to win this game, and when they didn't get any points in the first half. I love that James was talking about, you know, late in the third quarter, it was only 14-0. But I just watching the game,
it just kind of felt
like they weren't going to win the game because of they just didn't do enough early in the game, and they absolutely had to.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. All right, this is Bob's six-pack for Saturday, quarter number one. Bob Flounders, Andy Shea. Miles Sanders in the pass game. Not something we've seen very much of this year. Why is that on your radar this week?
Wisconsin did not exactly light up the scoreboard last week at home against Rutgers. It was 31-17. I wouldn't call it a struggle, but Rutgers did some things in the pass game. I think they threw for about 260 yards. About 80 of them came on screens to receivers out of the backfield. And, you know, Miles Sanders did some things earlier this year on wheel routes, and, you know, he had some plays called back. And we just kind of have not seen a lot of that. We haven't seen a lot of K.J. Hamler in the running game. I'm not saying give the guy the ball three or four times, but, I mean, he's carried twice. He scored once on a jet sweep. They've kind of gotten away from that. This offense just feels like it's become very predictable. I know they didn't have Juwan Johnson against Michigan. I'm not sure how much that would have mattered. But I do think Miles Sanders has to get untracked as a runner, and I do think they have to look at him as a receiver. Wisconsin played very aggressively against Rutgers.
They do.
They don't always play that well, but they played that way against Rutgers, and I think that if the opportunities are there and that's how they're going to play Penn State, I mean, why not? I think Miles Sanders could help in more than one way.
Because of Wisconsin's defense and the secondary and the back end has been struggling at times this year, they have the last 8 to 10 quarters coming into this game.
Yeah.
That I've watched, because I've watched them, they have been more aggressive with their linebackers and some of their blitz packages just because, you know, they're built to care that the defense carries the little bit of the water up the hill and then the offense just shuts it down by hogging the football. And the defense has not been able to carry the water for them.
It seems like their two best players are those linebackers for whatever reason. So if I'm Penn State, maybe don't run right at them. Maybe try and avoid them or get them on their heels, but I mean, this can't be a game where Penn State scores 20 points. Because, if they're going to play that kind of game, I think they're going to really, really have a struggle on their hands.
Penn State's the disappearing of the wideouts. The drops are a separate thing. We're not talking about the drops here. The wideouts, overall, you include the drops. They're getting worse as the season goes along. And Michigan was the kind of team that shut him down. Three catches for 49 yards.
Yeah.
They have to get something in this offense out of the wide receiver position.
Yeah, you know what? And James hinted at it, and so I'm going to be really curious. So he talked about the freshmen. He talked about the freshman wideouts and who's going to play and who is going to – who they're going to kind of manage them because they have some eligibility left. Justin Shorter has played one game.
Right.
If ever you were going to play him – you're going to play him, it would be this week. I don't really think you're going to need him against Rutgers. I would hope you wouldn't need him a lot against Maryland. I know James probably wants to play him in the bowl game, maybe as a reward. I mean, if ever you were going to play Justin Shorter, wouldn't it be this week against Wisconsin?
Yeah. And if you're talking about Penn State's wideouts, you have to look at their run game ever since the Ohio State game has gone – less and less now. Trace hurt, so that adds a different part of the equation to it. Yeah. This is, comes back to the argument of running in place. They seem to be stuck in quicksand. The offensive line is not doing much, but to me it feels like they're stuck in quicksand.
And let's be honest, something is up with Ricky Slade. I heard things that it's off the field, and I don't know that he's in the doghouse, but he might have.
He's definitely not in the penthouse because he's not showing up.
He might have half of his body in the doghouse, but he's disappeared from the offense too.
Completely.
So, I mean, this was a guy that in limited carries, he did some nice things.
He did.
Dating back to the Illinois game, I know it was in mop-up time, but he gave them a lift when they needed him in the second half, and they just are not going to use him for whatever reason. And that also, I think, plays into – you know, a little bit of why they're struggling to run the ball. The fact that Trace is on one leg doesn't help. So that's another reason why you got to get Tommy involved, even if you're just going to give him a series or two to give Trace some time to kind of collect himself.
And one of the other things you have on your six-pack for Saturday, Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin is not going to – it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Jonathan Taylor leads the Big Ten in rushing. Guess who's going to get the ball 28 to 32 times on Saturday?
Yeah, it's weird that he does most of his damage on first down. Yeah, he's averaging like 7 yards a carry. I'm sure he doesn't do that against some of the better teams on their schedule, but he's a good running back. And like I said, if it's 20 to 20 early in the fourth quarter, I think Penn State's in a lot of trouble because of the way that their defense is probably going to be out on the field. And I think that there's a chance that Wisconsin's offensive line could just take over the game.
All right, one last thing before we get out. Somehow this Penn State offense, which is dead last in the Big Ten in time of possession, has to help its defense. They're averaging, 86.5 snaps a game over their last four games of Penn State defense.
Third down conversions would help.
Third down conversions is the key to it. So, all right, that'll do it for Bob's six-pack for Saturday. Coming up, he's now joined us. Ross Tucker is here in studio. Tucker's Tape, we are going to talk about the Michigan game. You don't want to miss that. Stick around, Tucker's Tape. Coming up next,
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.